Well, good morning, church, and welcome once again. This morning, I have what I believe is a now word for us, literally a word for us. It's how many of us know and have experienced that one word from God can change your life? And this week, as I was spending some time meditating on a scripture because I was frustrated with something, and how many times do we get frustrated and then we take a scripture and we know the answer is there, but it's like it's kind of blocked. And I was meditating on a certain scripture. So this morning I want to share that word with you and just share what that word meant to me, and it was good. So let's begin this morning by opening up our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And this is a scripture that you have heard me teach on many, many, many times. And if it is not deeply engraved in your heart by now, then today you need to hear it again. And until the dawning of what it is actually saying to us changes everything about your life. Verse 17, Romans chapter 5. Let's pick it up in verse 17. It says, "For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." How many of us want to reign in life? Amen. Verse 18, "Therefore, as by the sin of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Verse 21, "That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, we just read a passage of scripture that is very close to my heart, that I study a lot, and I believe that if you belong to this church or affiliated with this word of faith that we teach, it is a word that you've heard lots. But I want to take a look at today is one word in this whole passage of scripture. And now this is not the word the Lord quickened to me, but I'm building, right? We need a foundation. I'm going to lay a foundation so I can take you to the word that the Lord has given for us this morning. So the first thing I want to do and bring out of this passage of scripture and look at is the word reign or reigned. Now, I've done a teaching on this before, but I believe it was a teaching that was done and it did not go onto the internet. It was just something we had done among ourselves here. And if you weren't here, well, now you were going to get an opportunity to hear it. But the word reigned is actually the word basileo. Basileo. I think that's how you pronounce it. That's the Greek word for the word reigned. And it means to rule. That's easy enough. It means to rule. But this word is taken from a word that actually it pronounces basileus instead of basileo. There's an O at the end. This one's got the S at the end. The same word, but one's got an O, one's got an S in the Greek. And this word means a foundation of power or sovereign. And this word, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it again, basileus, takes us to another word. And if you ever did a study of words, you can spend hours, because one word will take you to this word and that word will take you to that word. But it's such a rich, the Greek language is such a rich language that in order to get the full understanding of what it's really saying, you've got to do some studying. You've got to study these different words, because this is taken from the root of this or the compound. And you take it all together And then it takes a lot of thought, and you're looking at these words and trying to tie them all together, but they are all important. All the definitions are important. So this other word that I'm talking about, one has the S on the end, one has the O, and the other word which it's taken from as well as is instead of bacil, it's basis, which when interpreted means the foot or the feet as the base or the foundation. The foot or the feet as the base or the foundation. So, first of all, let's talk about why is this word so vitally important for us to see and to understand today. Well, because what I see when I look around in the church and even in my own life, I still do not see that the church, and that includes me, as well as you, is really reigning in life the way we should. Can I hear an amen? Have we reached the place where we're all reigning in life? No, when I look around at the church, I see many things going on in the church that ought not to be going on in the lives of believers. So now I want us to go back again and read verse 17. For by one man's sin, death reigned by one. Remember what reigned means now. It means to rule. It means a foundation of power or sovereign. And it also means the foot or the feet as the base or the foundation. For by one man's sin, death reigned by one. So you have to ask yourself, how did death rule or reign? Same thing. What was the foundation of its power to rule? By one man's sin. Okay, it was sin. Sin was the foundation of the power of death. Do you understand? Okay, so sin was the foundation of the power of death. Much more, they which receive an abundance of grace and the free gift. Free was added, but if it's a gift, it is free, right? The free gift of righteousness shall reign, there's that word again, in life. So now let's answer this question. How does life reign? What is the foundation of its power? Because I just said the foundation of the power of death was sin. What is the foundation of the power of life? Because we need to know this. We need to have it so ingrained that we understand this, what this scripture is saying. What is the foundation of its power? The power of life. It is righteousness. Righteousness is the foundation of the power of life. So let me ask you another question. How important is this foundation? How important is it? But I can tell you this much. If any storms arise in your life, you're going to soon find out how important it is to have this foundation in your life. Remember, it is your foundation of power. The foundation of the power of life is the righteousness that has been imputed unto you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit is life. Why? Because of righteousness. Your spirit is life because of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 25 tells us this. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. In other words, they're passing away, right? But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. So let's go back and ask ourselves one more time. Why are we, as God's people, not reigning, ruling in life if we are in Christ? Our righteousness in Christ has given us the right or the legal authority to reign or rule in life. And the foundation of that authority is what? The power of that authority is your righteousness. And guess what? Our Heavenly Father, more than anything, wants you and I to reign in life, to be witnesses of what He has done through His Son Jesus at the cross. And He has given us the power to do so in Christ, to be witnesses of all of these things, to enforce His kingdom. We're not trying to get something or to get something from God. You know, we're not from here trying to get up there. No, we're already up there, and we have been called to enforce the kingdom. Remember when Jesus walked in the Gospels, and anytime he would lay His hands on the sick or heal the sick or cast out devils, He said, "The kingdom of God has come upon you." Okay, that's the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So we are called to be witnesses and to enforce His kingdom, His will on the earth. And it's not just a couple of us that are called to do that. The whole body of Christ is. He wants us to enforce His will on the earth, to call those things that be not as though they are. The first mandate He gave to Adam and Eve was go, subdue the earth. Take authority over it, have dominion over it. Do you know that He's given us the same mandate? Now you go. Go forth into all the world. You lay hands on the sick. You cast out devils. You call those things into being that are not, according to God's will in heaven. Let the kingdom of God come upon the earth. You go forth and you do that. That's our ministry. That's what we're called to do. How many of us are doing that? Most Christians are just hanging on, trying to survive in their own lives, much less going out and calling God's kingdom into being in the earth. The Bible tells us we are made kings and priests under our God. How does a king or a priest rule? With their words. With their words. And you might be here today and you say, "Yeah, you know, I speak words, but you know, very seldom do they ever come to pass. We've been disappointed. Very seldom do our words ever happen." And after a while, guess what? You stop speaking them. Or you're under the impression, "I speak words, but my words don't carry very much power." You know, even in the natural, wherever there is illegal activity, the law enforcement is called in. Called onto the scene. And these law, or these officers, law enforcers, have been given authority to arrest or to stop anything that is illegal, anything that goes against the law. Or they're allowed to take control of anyone who breaks the law. This is another way of saying it. Now, it's not that these officers are bigger or stronger than the people. In fact, some of them are smaller. I mean, they even have women officers who are, let's face it, we're made smaller than men. We're not as strong as most men. So it's not that we're bigger or stronger than all the rest. No, they're authorized by who? The government. That is the foundation of their power. I mean, they show their badge. Does that badge have any power in it? No. It just symbolizes the authorization that they have to make that arrest. Now, why do we find it so difficult as Christians to do the same thing in the spirit world? You and I have been authorized by a power that is much greater than the government. And these officers, they don't cower away from it. I mean, if they get a call, they go. They don't stand by the door and wonder, "Oh, I wonder if I can put them under. I wonder if it's going to work. I wonder if I can arrest that guy." Yes, they've got guns. They've got weapons. But so do we. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We've got the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. So you and I have been called to reign in life, to rule, to enforce the kingdom of God. But you got to know what your foundation is. You've got to be settled in it. They are authorized by the government, the foundation of their power. And you and I have been authorized by a much higher power. And let me ask you this. How much illegal activity is going on in your own life? Come on, think about it. How much illegal activity is going on? Whether it's in your body, sickness and disease. It's illegal, you know. It has no legal right to be there. And you have the authority over it. How much of it is going on in your marriage, in your children's lives, in your job, your finances? You've been commissioned to enforce God's kingdom. First of all, in your own life, and in the lives of your family, your friends, your church, your whoever, go into the world. You've been given that legal right. Any curse that is going on in and around you is illegal. For the Bible tells us that you've been set free from the curse. Galatians 3:13. Now, going back to the natural again, when a police officer arrives at a scene or a crime scene or is called to stop a perpetrator or a thief in action, he arrives with boldness and confidence. I mean, yes, he might have backup, but we got backup too. We got the Most High God who says, I got your back. So they arrive with confidence and boldness, and they go in and do whatever needs to be done. And yet I see more than anything in the church, we lack boldness. We lack confidence. It's not that we don't know what I'm telling us this morning. It's not a new message. We've heard about being sent out to enforce, being commissioned, given the authority to bring God's kingdom to the earth. But why are we not taking this message seriously and going out and doing it, or at least doing it in our own lives? So we lack boldness and confidence to speak boldly, to call those things that be not as though they are. And to believe our own words. To believe our own words. I'm going to say that again. We are sometimes very reluctant. Now, you got to remember, when I preach, I'm mainly, you know, the fingers are going back at me. We are very reluctant a lot of the times to speak out a lot of things. You know, oh yeah, we can go into the presence of our God and we say, oh yes, Lord, this is what I believe. But yet, we get out into the public or into the natural and we zip our mouths, we close our mouths, and we think, well, that's just between me and God. We're not bold. We're not bold to speak what we truly are believing God for in our private life. Why? Well, as long as it's between me and God and it doesn't happen, it's not a big deal. But wow, when I get it out there, now I'm on the line. What if my words don't happen? What if it doesn't come to pass? I am going to look like a lunatic, a weirdo. And the reason that we even think this way, or even can entertain that type of thinking, is because we are not sure of our foundation. Your foundation of power is the righteousness that's been imparted unto you. That is your foundation. Don't ever forget that. That is your foundation of power. And if you have not got a sure, if you're not positive and rooted in that foundation, the power is not going to flow. Now I want us to turn to the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to show you this little word that popped out and jumped out and grabbed me. The book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. Let me say that word again. A foundation. A stone. A tried stone. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth will not make haste. First of all, who's this stone? The living stone. It is Christ, the living stone. Christ is the foundation. A tried, it says, a tested. The word tried means tested. Jesus was tested and tried. Precious. What does the word precious mean? It means costly, valuable. He's costly. We have no idea the costliness or the value of Christ. I mean, we know he was God's son. We know God loved him. We know he's God. But you and I, in our finite minds, cannot comprehend the value of the Son of God. Just cannot. So he's precious, valuable. We're talking about our foundation here now. And then the last one is the word that just jumped out at me, a sure foundation. He is a sure foundation. The reason we are not bold is because we don't understand that we have a sure foundation. We can speak and believe our words. We honestly can. You're not the foundation. We need to go deeper than that. He's the foundation, and he is a sure foundation. And when you speak, you can know for sure that your words are going to come to pass. When I saw that, it was like the Holy Spirit put the light on for me. I can speak, and I can know absolutely for sure that whatever I say is going to happen. I'm not the foundation. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in ourself. Well, I drive big faith or little faith. Is my faith working? Geez, did I say the words strong enough? Let's say it again. Let's shout it a little louder. No, get your eyes on your sure foundation. He is the foundation of power in your life. It's not you. It's not all about you. Oh, I'm trying to believe that I'm righteous, but when I look at my life, I don't look righteous. I don't feel righteous. I'm not acting righteous. No. You are righteous because he is righteous. And it's his righteousness that your foundation is on, not yours. And it is a sure, and not only a sure, but an everlasting foundation. If you get a hold of this, you will be shouting for joy. Because it is assured to you. It is a sure foundation. Christ himself is the living stone. He is the foundation of our righteousness. The word sure simply, you know, like I said, as it jumped out at me, and it was almost like in my heart of hearts, I knew I can be absolutely sure that when I speak, when I call those things that be not as though they are, when I speak unto my mountain, because my foundation of power is his righteousness, which has been imputed to me. The word sure means it is set, it is established in the heavens. Established, my words shall be established. And then it goes on to say, and he who believes in him and his righteousness shall not make haste. What does that mean? I mean, I looked up in my footnotes, it says, shall not, something about being in a hurry. And I thought, wow, this is a terrible interpretation. But you know, the Bible always interprets itself. right? And so if you look in the book of Romans chapter 9, here we see the Apostle Paul, and he's quoting the same verse of Scripture, but he uses a different word. He says in verse 33 of Romans chapter 9, "And it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be," what? "Ashamed." Shall not be ashamed. Didn't we just talk about that? That a lot of times we're afraid to be bold in our faith and call those things that be not as though they are and share our faith, make profession of our faith because we're ashamed. We're maybe a little embarrassed that may not happen. And then if I get it out there, oh man, now they're watching me. And we're afraid. What does this all mean? It means we're afraid of failure. Come on. If we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times we're afraid of failure. What keeps us from walking into a situation where we can see illegal activity, even though we have the power and the authority, but we pull back? I ain't going in there. Oh, let's just go home and pray for that person. We're not bold. Why? What if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? What if I fail? I'm going to look like a real idiot. And then we justify it. Well, Lord, I'm going to make you even look worse there. It's true. And you know how I know it's true in your life? Because it's true in mine. And it's all the same devil that messes with all of us the same way. Afraid of failure keeps us from going out and doing what we really need to do. What we've been created, the new creation, that's what it's for. That God might show forth and demonstrate in you his goodness and kindness. How? By you going out with the kingdom power and bringing God's kingdom onto the earth. A kingdom where there's health and wholeness and prosperity and peace and all the good things. All the good things. Does God want us to have it this side of heaven? Yes. Let's not always put everything in the future and say, oh, you know, we'll just bumble along in this life and maybe someday in the sweet by and by, you know, it's all going to happen. We're all going to have a good life. Yes, we will have a good life in the sweet by and by. But now is the time of salvation. Today is the day. And there's a whole world out there. And as Justin and I were discussing last night, this world is getting harder and harder to reach. They don't even know anything about God. They got no foundation. So you and I have been called to live in this hour and in this time. There was a reason in God's heart that he chose you, to place you here today, even to hear this word today. We need to be bold. We need to rise up and finally believe that our foundation is not our goodness. Or even our ability to try to understand because I don't look righteous, I don't feel righteous. No, keep our eyes on it, the fact that it's his righteousness. And all that it is he gave it to you as a gift to use. He didn't earn it. But he does expect you to use it. So what brings us shame? You shall not be ashamed. Our thoughts and our fears of failure. Because why? Because we're not sure of our foundation of power, even in the natural. If you know a foundation isn't going to hold you, you ain't going to be jumping out there with much confidence. You know, you might, you know, if you're going across a bridge and you know it's, you saw the foundation before you got on it, I'm like, whoa. You're going to be very, very cautious. Or, you know, if you're like me, you probably wouldn't go across at all. Because you're afraid of falling. And it's the same thing. Falling is failure. We're afraid of falling. Afraid of failure. But I'm here to set you free. We have a sure foundation. That was straight from the heart of God. And you can speak those words in boldness and in power. You can know God is going to, it's going to happen. And to doubt our righteousness, which is our foundation of power in him, I'm going to tell you, is to doubt his righteousness. You know why? Because we are one with him, seated together with him in heavenly places. One spirit in the Lord. Remember I quoted from Romans chapter 8 where it says that we, our spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, that spirit of life and righteousness is the same life, same righteousness as Jesus himself has, and we're one with him. We're one. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see Anson and Tanya. You know what he sees? He sees Anson. You're one. And that's why in the Old Covenant, you never hear the wives' names. Very seldom. Because when God, let's go to Genesis chapter 5. I'll show you this. Genesis 5. In the eyes of the Lord, we are one with Christ because we're his bride. Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, it says here, in verse 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them. And he called their name what? Adam. One name. What does that tell us? When God looks at a married couple, they're one. It's not Justin and Kelly, it's Justin in the eyes of the Lord. So when he looks at us, and we're in Christ, we're the bride of Christ, he sees Jesus. Jesus, that's it. And the Spirit is life because of his righteousness, which we share with him. His righteousness in us is our foundation of power, and it is a sure foundation. Jesus died to give us life. Did he not? I am come that you might have life. He gave up his life. He died to give us life. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again until you get it. And it's not just any life. It's his life. When he went to the cross and he finished the work, you know, we used to think of the finished work as health, wholeness, prosperity. But you know what the finished work is? You are the finished work. And when he said it is finished, he meant that you now have been totally recreated, brand new, together with Christ as he is, as righteous as Jesus is. And Jesus bowed his head and he said, it's done. We can confidently speak to that mountain in our lives. And you can absolutely believe that your words will come to pass. You know why? Because of that sure foundation of power. His righteousness in us. Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for. What does the word substance mean? If you look up that word, it's got different, but it's confidence is one. But I like the definition of assurance. It's assure. It's our assurance. It's a sure foundation, which gives us assurance. Faith is the assurance of the things you're hoping for. Faith is sure of the things that it's hoping for, because of the sure foundation of our power. It all goes back to Jesus. And last week, if you were here with us, we were looking at a story taken from 2 Kings chapter 4 about the Shunammite woman. Now, you might all be familiar. I mean, those that were here are, but those who are listening, this was a great woman, the Bible tells us, and I said her name, Shunammite. Shunam means rest. So she was a woman of rest, which to me is a picture of the church. Now, we know how the story goes. Elijah, who to me it typifies Jesus Christ, is going by her house. She has him come in, and she ministers to him. And after a while, she builds a little chamber for him. She trusts him. She believes that he is a man of God. No differently than us when we first get introduced to Jesus. The more we fellowship with him, the more we trust, you know, the more we see who he really is, right? He is God. But anyways, long story short, Elijah calls her one day and says, you know, what is it that I could give you? And of course, as it turned out, she was childless. So he gives her a child. And so she's, you know, I mean, her and her husband, I'm sure, were ecstatic. And the child had been growing up. And on a day, it says in the Bible, when the child went out to the father in the field who was reaping, he got sick and he cried, "My head, my head." And the father said to the servant, "Take my son back and take him to his mother." And the mother, who is this great Shunammite woman, sat him on her lap and she held him until lunch, and he died in her arms. Now, whoa, can you imagine? Anybody who's had children, I mean, that would be worst case scenario. But remember, this is a story of the church, the woman of rest. So what does she do? She takes the boy upstairs. She puts him in the upper chamber. And we talked about, if you didn't get the word, hear that one first. And she lays him on the man of God's bed, which typifies us casting our cares onto the Lord. She leaves him there, closes the door. And then on the way out, she's on a mission now. She's going somewhere. She gets stopped a couple of times and says, "Where are you going? What's going on?" And all she said out of her mouth was, "All is well," which is actually the word shalom. Well is what she said, peace. So where's she going? She's going to the man of God. And it says she sees him and she runs towards him and grabs him. I believe it. Did I write it down? She grabs him, or she catches him. That's what the Bible says. She catches him by the feet. Remember what I said? Rain, if you go back to the third definition I gave of rain, was the feet as the foundation. What was this woman of rest doing? She did not call the things that were as though they were. She spoke, "All is well." In her heart, she was calling those things that be not as though they are. All was not well. Her child was dead. But yet she did not say the obvious. She didn't even tell her husband. But she called forth. She spoke boldly, "All is well." And then she went to the man of God, Elijah, and she grabbed him around the feet, or she caught him around the feet, which is the foundation. You know, you say, well, you read these stories, we don't see the righteousness. That was what she was grabbing. She was hanging on, just like we in our own lives. When our child dies, or if we have something that's terrible going on, what do we usually do? We give up at that point and say, "Oh, God didn't hear my..." No, no, no. You call those things that you have the authority over every situation. You speak what you want to see. And then you go to your foundation of power, which is his righteousness in you. And that is a sure foundation. And because of that, you can have what you said. Did the woman get what her word said? All is well. Yes. Because Elijah went back and raised the child back to life. And so my whole point is, from that whole story, was she went to the foundation of the power of her faith. When you and I find ourselves in a hard place, we need to go to that foundation of power. His righteousness is a sure foundation. Your righteousness is going to let you down, but never his. And to question the righteousness that he's given you is to question his righteousness, because it is his righteousness. And to say that, "Oh, it's not going to work," that's an abomination to God. And from this place, we can boldly declare all things, call things that be not as though they are, without any sense of failure. The minute you think you might fail, or you have that sense of being a failure, you know you're not standing on the sure foundation. You're trying to stand on your own foundation, the shifting sand. But we need to build our house upon the rock. And when the storms of life come, it is unmovable. Why? Because it is based on his righteousness in me. And I have the power and the authority to execute it. That's how we need to see it. So long we've been looking at ourselves and wanting to arrive at a certain place and saying, you know, thinking even it's a feeling or an emotion that we must have before we can speak. And, oh, yes, I felt the power of that. No, that was just an emotion. You need to be established. The word for sure means established. And know, not only is it a sure foundation, but it is an everlasting foundation. It's never gonna pass away. It's yours forever. It is the Lord's righteousness that has been imparted to you. So, let's arrest every curse. Let's begin to speak words of faith and power into our situation, into our lives, and let God enjoy watching you bring his kingdom to pass in your life and in the lives of others. Let's not back down. Because that's what the enemy is trying to do. And I mean, after hearing the testimony of Anson and Tanya this morning, I can really see that the enemy is trying to get us to back off of our confession. To back off. But we need not back off. In the natural, when the officers go to make an arrest, they don't back off. You don't see the perpetrator chasing the officer. And that's usually what happens. We get in there and we're all bold and all of a sudden, you know, the enemy turns and then we start running and he's chasing us. No. The righteousness that you have is his righteousness. And the minute you find that out, the enemy is like, ah, darn, I lost that one. Use your imagination. Take authority over the things that need to be taken authority of. Use this gift of righteousness. And have a blast doing it. I mean, God gets great enjoyment out of watching us. And he's given us all these things. And to see us operating in it, in the place of Jesus, you know, I can imagine the Lord is just giggling. Just like we giggle when we see our own children speaking things. I mean, we do it. We see it lots in our family with our little people. You know, stories I could just stand up here and tell you over and over about the things they say, the things they do, the prayers they speak, the things they pray for. It's, you know, it makes your heart glad and with real faith. And so, you know, if you get enjoyment out of your children, how much more our Heavenly Father loves to watch you just take that authority and put the enemy on the run. Amen. We're going to stop this morning for communion.